The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
It's great to be back in Melbourne, having left here 42 years ago from Ridley College over there, and travelled around the country a bit since then. But it's good to come back and to a town or a city that I love so much. Carol and I had 3 years here. I had five altogether, together as a married couple, about three. It was terrific. So it's great to come back, and it was good to be here yesterday to share, and to share again this morning at this wonderful story. And this is a good story, isn't it? A blind man who is wonderfully healed by Jesus. It's not just a story for back there, because all the Bible is meant for today as well. And I think you and I are meant to read the Bible, which is God's word to us, his revelation to us, that we might understand what he's like and what he's able to do in our own hearts and lives. And as I read this passage, I found, if you like, four things we need to do that we might draw upon God's grace and draw upon God's blessing. Well, the first one was, you'll find there in verse 35, we need to recognise Jesus' presence with us in our time of need. To recognise his presence with us in our time of need. Yeah, just think about the poor blind man. He couldn't understand what was happening around about him. He could only sit there and beg for his living and then ask some questions. Questions such as, what's happening? Carol and I have the great joy in about 2 days' time of being in Birchip, which you've caught, being Victorians, you know all about, up in the Mallee country between Horsham and Swan Hill, and we'll be there for our granddaughter's third birthday. But from the time she was two, she'd walk into a room and say, what's happening? And so we'll be there and we'll hear again those words, what's happening? It's sort of caught up on the family now. And our 36-year-old son rings from Brisbane and says, what's happening? So it's sort of spreading around the family. It's like someone once said, insanity is hereditary. We get it from our kids. Well, this saying we're getting from our granddaughter. So what's happening? That was his question. And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he realized he was in the presence of Jesus, the healer. Couldn't see him, but knew he was there. Let me say, this same Jesus we read about in this passage here is here today. I just promised you looked at it last night in particular, but where two or three are gathered together in my name, said Jesus, there am I in the midst of them. And he's here. It doesn't matter one little iota whether we can feel his presence or not. If you can feel his presence, that's an added bonus. But the reality is that God, by his Spirit, Jesus, is present with us. Now, I won't ask who feels his presence, because it doesn't really matter. I won't ask who believes it, because that doesn't matter either. The reality is he's present with us. He knows all about us. He knows our needs. And I believe even in a service like this, he wants to do something about the needs that you and I have. See, the Christian faith is all about faith. Faith in the promise of God and acting upon the promises of God. We're trusting in a God who is here but is unseen. Maybe think about a time when I was the Dean of Armidale Cathedral and I was leading a meditation time in the evening service in the cathedral. And all of a sudden our young son, little son, screamed out, there's God! And I looked up and all the parishioners going... Yeah, I suppose knowing deep down that you can't see God, so what was happening? Well, it just turned out that Carol was there just trying to keep him interested through the whole service and just pointing out words in the prayer book and came to this word that had G-O-D. And David recognised that there's God. He was right, wasn't it? He did see God. In print, but not in person, as it were. The second thing is we need to ask for Jesus' help in our time of need. It says here in verse 38, he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, it wasn't quite what he was told, as you read about it. He'd been told, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, but he's crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. It was really a quantum leap to go from Jesus of Nazareth to Jesus, Son of David. Have mercy upon me. Because that's the title for the coming Messiah. He was recognizing that Jesus was in fact the Son of David, that he was the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ, the one who'd come to save and to bring healing to the people of God. And so in the presence of this Messiah, he could only cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. What would Jesus say to his request? Well, it seems as we read the story, the blind man had to face some discouragement first of all. You sometimes find that in religious circles, there's a bit of discouragement. And it means that we sometimes have got to do the third thing that's necessary, and that is to hang on in faith when we're facing discouragement or disappointment. You see, before Jesus could reply, the crowd round about the man cried out, in a sense, shut up. Be quiet. You know, stop yelling out like this. And of course, the blind man is always at the mercy of a crowd. And he had a choice. Do I shut up, as I say, or do I keep on crying out that Jesus might hear me and answer the cry of my heart? And so he made his decision. He's going to forget about the crowd round about him. He's going to focus on Jesus. And it said he cried out all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, it's interesting, when he first cried out, the writer Luke uses a couple of different words. One is to shout out. But when he cries out the second time all the more, it's a different word, which means to really scream out, to shriek. He wasn't going to be put off by those around about him telling him to be quiet. And so this time he shrieked out. He really was fair dinkum. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I need your help. Well, I think sometimes people do face discouragement. We saw a lot of discouragement, I think, when people came to the healing service in Sydney, which I was in charge for 18 years now, this year celebrating its 50th year. Not bad, is it? 50 years of continuous ministry in the cathedral in Sydney. That's pretty good. And if you know all about Sydney, that's a miracle. We'd find that they would come to the service sometimes being very much discouraged by their spouse or by their family. Sometimes a family member being in denial, Mum, you don't need to go there for that. Dad, you don't need it. Or maybe sometimes they said to their minister, I hate to say, I'd like to go to the healing service in the cathedral. He said, I wouldn't go there, which is pretty sad, isn't it? I found it very sad. Or it may have been wives who came along by themselves, their husbands wouldn't come, and they sat there in the healing service or in the seminars we did for cancer days for those with cancer and their carers, and there they are by themselves, and no encouragement at all from even their spouses. But I think if you're desperate enough, you keep on hanging in. And so you do that, you make all the effort, unless you really are under real threat by those around about you, if you step out of line as they see it. But today, how desperate are you to know God's touch upon your life? What do you want him to do for you? Well, that's the fourth thing we need to do. We need to be honest to God about what we want God to do in our hearts and lives, about what we really need. We read here in verse 40, Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Now, isn't that, in a sense, a silly question? Here's a blind man being led to Jesus, and Jesus asking him, what do you want me to do for you? But it's not such a silly question after all, because you and I have free will, and you and I can choose to accept or reject what God offers us in his Son, in Jesus Christ. God never imposes upon us that which we are not willing to receive. He respects our free will. And I think you see the same thing in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, which was one of the verses that led to my conversion. Picture of Jesus standing at the door of the human heart, knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. The tragedy is that Jesus may be knocking on the door of human hearts, perhaps even here today. And you and I can make a choice. Let to keep him knocking. How wonderful it would be today if people realize that Jesus has been trying to come into their hearts and lives, and they open wide the door that he might come in and sup with them and he with them. In other words, here would be an ongoing life of wonderful fellowship. And you may have come to the service this morning not knowing the Lord, and you can leave this service knowing the Lord, knowing Christ living in your heart and life, being born again, becoming a whole new creation, old things passing away, all things becoming new. It just needs you to open the door, and I trust that some of you here today will open that door and let him in. You see, we need to be proactive in our faith in acting on the promises of God. We also need to be active in terms of looking for help. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? He said, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks, the door will be opened. But he says, you've got to do the asking. And you've got to do the seeking, and you'll do the knocking, and then I'll bring all the answers to all those requests. And so here's a man who makes a choice. Lord, let me receive my sight. I want to see again. So he had his priorities right. He didn't want more money, a higher status in the community. He just simply wanted to receive his sight, because that would open the door to so much more for him. And so here's a man with right priorities. Well, how about the choice that you and I face today? We can ask for help, or we can choose not to ask for help. I remember my very first night in charge of the Healing Ministry in St. Andrew's Cathedral. The great, revered Canon Jim Glennon had gone, and now I'm there. My very first Wednesday night. And so I preach the message, and then we have a little bit of time of quietness. I come and ask the question, who'd like to receive prayer for God's blessing or healing tonight? And so a whole lot of hands went up. Our team members went round, and then I discovered there was one lady who had a hand up. No one was praying with her. So I felt I'd better go and look after this lady. I went across to her and said, do you want some prayer, some blessing or healing? She said, no, thank you, but my friend here does need some prayer. Okay, I go across to the friend and say, okay, do you want some prayer tonight for God's blessing or healing? She said, no, thank you. And I thought, this is my very first Sunday, my very first Wednesday, my very first invitation to see if someone liked to be prayed for. I get knocked back. It can only get better from here on. And it did. But how sad for someone to be there who obviously needed a lot of help and just wouldn't ask for help. As James said, you have not sometimes because you ask not. Well, how would you respond to the question Jesus asked? What do you want me to do for you? Because that's what he does ask of you and me today. The risen Jesus amongst us, saying to you and me, what do you really want me to do for you today? Well, you could ask for many things. Some might be good, some mightn't be so good. Or you could become quite self-focused in your prayer. And you can do that even for healing sometimes. You can pray something like this. Lord, heal me so the pain goes away and the mobility comes back and I can play my golf better with a lower score. Now, let me say sometimes God answers that prayer because he's more gracious than I am. If I was God, I wouldn't do it. That would be more fair dinkum than that. But he's more gracious than I am. But how much more when people come with a real sense of openness and asking that God would bless us that we might be able to do his will. I spoke to a real prayer warrior in Florida, an older lady up in her 80s, and she would spend something like 5 or 6 hours a day in prayer. She prays every day, she said, for Carol and me and for our kids, as well as for the rectors, the vicars, the ministers, and people all around the world. But she became really slow in thinking and all those sort of things. And you know, really felt the kingdom was being deprived because this lady was sort of just drifting away, falling away. And she came and said she was worried about it. So I suggested to her a prayer like this, because it's an unselfish prayer. Lord, heal me for your sake. that I might do your will to your glory for the rest of my life. It's unselfish, isn't it? It's not about me, it's about him and my living for him for the rest of my life. And she began to pray that. And a couple of years later, we discover she's even younger now, as it were, than she was those 2 years ago. And gone back to being that great prayer warrior she has. It's a great prayer to pray. Lord, heal me for your sake, that I might do your will to your glory for the rest of my life. We can make the prayer more general, being unselfish, and pray something like this. Lord, bless me with the material things I need to be able to accomplish your will for me for the rest of my life. Lord, bless me with the wisdom, the skills, the health, whatever it is I need to be able to do your will to your glory for the rest of my life. You see, God wants to bring the blessing of the healing we need that we might then begin to fulfill his purpose for us. Well, the man had faith. He'd reached out in faith and the reward came. The reward for persevering faith. And sometimes you've got to hang in trusting when the answers don't come immediately. In spite of all, sometimes the discouragement and a lack of support you get from those around about you. Because Jesus says in verse 42, recover your sight, your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. His faith had now been rewarded. The answer had come and he could see. His faith had opened the door to God's power to come into his life through Jesus. From that moment, he was a follower of Jesus. The same Jesus we read about there is present with us today. And he says to each and every one of us, what do you want me to do for you today? And you can tell him in that unselfish way, Lord, heal me, bless me for your sake, that I might do your will to your glory for the rest of my life. Pray that prayer and see what God does. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your marvelous grace and goodness and mercy. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. That you are the unchanging God. We thank you, Lord, we see in this story the expression of your love and the expression of your power. And I pray, Lord, there may be many of us here today who open that door to let you in. That you might become Lord and Savior and Master. I pray, Lord, there may be others who open the door, that you may come in to bring blessing and healing into their bodies, their minds and their spirits. I pray, Lord, there may be some here today who open the door that you might be able to guide them and show them into what you want them to do with the rest of their lives. Thank you, Lord, that you're hearing our prayers. We thank you by faith for the answers that are coming in Jesus' name. Amen.